For such people who practice Islam like this, who follow our Aimma like this, what happens is this, my friends, when you do a little bit of service, the first thing that grows in yourself is ego, ujub, and arrogance. A little bit of khidmat you do, then you feel entitled that Allah owes you now. That Allah owes you. Yes. You'll see that if religion is taken like this, that's what happens. 2 rakat prayer and we feel that, hey, you know, Allah, you know, 2 rakat prayer, I've done that. Subhanallah, you know, now, you know, I'll come account for this on the day of judgment. Right? You know, have that ready. Have the books ready, you know, and I'll see that. Friends, this is how one feels. The reason he is not able to take deen in a meaningful way is that the reasons by which he was convinced are shallow. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Because those people who have taken deen in a very deep manner, in a very meaningful manner, their methods and their ways are different. You see, when they go into sajda, you see, they don't want to come up. You know, they have pleasure when they make it. It's not that, you know, I'm doing this sajda, you know, and Allah, inshallah, you be a witness, I'm doing sajda to you. And now you owe me for that. No, when they go to sajda, there is actual shukr, intense gratitude that they have. This is the method. This is the way of those who have accepted Islam deeply, with true convictions. Whenever we feel lazy in the practice of deen, do not look at your laziness as a symptom and say that I need to fix this. No, whenever you feel lazy in doing anything that Allah asks you to do, then look at those reasons why I accepted Allah's deen. Look at those reasons. Why did I accept Allah's deen? Were you forced to accept it? You know, did Allah make you do it? Why did you accept Imam Hussein as your imam? Did he force you? Did he force you to do that? Did anyone force you? No. So why did you accept it? Look back at those reasons. La ilaha illallah. Now, how? Inshallah, I will answer this. But, you know, our topic that we started, because many of you have not been in the other hall, so I have to repeat the topic so we know what we are talking about. Why did Allah create us? Why did Allah make us, my friends, was the question. And really, the answer to that question is that Allah made insan to have fun. Allah made insan to have fun, to enjoy himself, to seek lazzat, pleasure. That's why he made insan. And that's what we want to explain. Really. Why do people take their deen shallowly? Because they haven't understood the logic of lazzat and pleasure. If you haven't understood what pleasure is for, what fun and enjoyment is for, then you haven't accepted Islam deeply. You haven't accepted Ahlul Bayt deeply. You know what? That's the reason. A lot of time, deen is given in such a shallow way that we think that deen is something, you know, that is stopping us from all enjoyment. And those who are religious, they become like Draculas, you know, and, you know, like all the kids are running away from them because deen is given in that way. Now, yesterday I mentioned the hadith that is from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. In which he explains, and now I don't want to repeat that hadith, but just the gist of it, simple as that. It's in a letter that Imam Ali had written to Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr. He wrote a letter to him, who Imam Ali had appointed as the governor of Egypt, and he wrote him a letter, and he says that, who are the muttaqi people? explaining that, he says, muttaqi people are the ones who have the best homes. Muttaqi people are the ones who wear the best clothes, eat the best food, more than the people of the world do. Those who are dunyawi, those who are kuffar, when you look at the muttaqin, they eat the best food, they wear the best clothes, they ride the best cars. Now he said rides, markab, rides, but I'm saying cars now. You won't understand horses, right? But they have the best of the dunya. And they enjoy it more than everyone else does. This is Imam Ali describing muttaqi. Who is muttaqi? Who is pious? Who is God-fearing? Because of the fact that lazzat and pleasure is something that not only does Islam not prohibit, but Islam is insisting, why aren't you having enough fun? Why aren't you having more fun in life? So the whole concept of religious people has been messed up, and the whole idea of religion has been messed up by saying that Islam is stopping you from having fun. No, Allah gave you life in order to have fun and lazzat. And that's where the subject is. Let's continue with send the salawats. One of the issues by which we can truly and deeply be convinced of practicing Islam is the subject of pleasure, of lazzat, of enjoyment. This is the way in which a person, you see those people who truly have understood Islam, and they have like, they are like, you can't make them go away from prayer. You can't make them go away from ibadat. Well, who are these people? These people are those who have understood what lazzat is. And they seek it. And they find it. And they want to live every moment in that exhilaration of enjoyment. That's what it is. And that's why Allah made you also. Allah created you so you can have fun. That you can enjoy more. That's why He created you. And that's what Allah is saying. Listen, I want you to have fun, more fun. And we say, well, you know, I had enough. Then Allah says, why? Why not more? You know, again, I don't want to repeat the examples from yesterday, but I have to because the people will be like, you know, what is he talking about, right? So that you understand what I'm saying. You know, it's like this, my friends. And obviously those who were yesterday, please be patient as I, you know, fill in the people who weren't here yesterday, right? You know, it's like you take your children out to the theme park for a vacation, right? Whatever, Disney, Universal, whatever you go, Six Flags, whatever. You spend money there, right? In order to take them there. Tell me, when you take your children to the theme park, do you want them, or when they go there, do you expect them to be miserable and sad and say that, listen, I'm taking you to the theme park and I want you to be miserable all day? Doesn't happen. Understand this, right? And if you see them not enjoying, you will say, what happened? Why aren't you enjoying? Why aren't you having fun? You feel concerned. What's going on? Why aren't you having fun? My friends, when Allah brought us to this dunya, this is how Allah is looking at us. In this dunya, with all the complications of life and the problems of life, Allah is saying, why aren't you having fun? Why are you depressed? This is how Allah is looking at you. And He wants us to have that. And those who do not understand that haven't understood Islam nor Ahlul Bayt yet. This is where we want to go to. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All right. Let's break for a moment and, you know, move forward again. You know, we have a lot of room on this side, so if all the people can start to come in here, there's hardly any room by the door, and they are holding their hands and pleading with me. Move forward, brothers. We have a lot of room here, so if you can just stand up and come over here one more time, we'll pack us. Allahumma So this is the second of Muharram, and the halls are already packed, so that's why you should listen to the people who are asking for donations so we can get a bigger place, right? And inshallah, you know, with the tawfiq that we have and the love that we have for Ahlul Bayt, we will get a much bigger place also. La ilaha illallah. You see, Allah made us to have fun and to enjoy. And now, deen. What is deen? Everything that Allah has given in deen. Whatever haram, whatever restriction, whatever prohibition is in religion is in order that we have pleasure. It is to make us have pleasure. That's why all of these haram things are there for. Allah wants us to reach the best pleasure, the height of pleasure, and wants us to experience that. And that's why Allah is saying, listen, in order for you to get there, I need to make some restrictions so that you can get there. That you can reach those pleasures. You tasted it, now you will see those pleasures coming to you. For reaching this infinite pleasure, really, a lot of people, you know, ask a question. You know, and this might be in your mind also, because it's natural to ask questions. And two questions I'm raising today to answer them. And these two questions are vital questions in the life of a human being, not a believer. A human being, and I say this because it's not just us who ask this question, it's everyone. Anyone as a human being will ask this question. If you hear about, for example, Jannat and the pleasures and here, pleasures and all of these things, the question comes, with all the pleasures that are there, with all the fun and enjoyment that's there, aren't we going to get bored? I mean, how much? I mean, here, you know, for example, you know, let's say, you know, that, you know, you made a cricket pitch over here. And let's say, you know, we have a marathon cricket tournament, right? And we are here for, I don't know, 72 hours playing. You know, at the end, you'll be like, all right, that's it, man. Let's play basketball. You'll just get tired of it. You'll be like, what is that? Let's do something else. So the idea is that in Jannat, aren't you going to get bored? If you do the same thing over and over again, this is a question that is in the mind. And you know what? If you don't answer it, it will bother you for the rest of your life. And it will remain in your heart until it creates doubts. Until it creates doubts in you. This is a question. It's a valid question. And my friends, here's the thing. Allah is not answering the question for you. Islam doesn't answer this question because it's futile to answer this question here. You haven't seen Jannat. Have you seen Jannat? No one has seen Jannat. Yeah, you heard about it. You know, you can imagine it, but you haven't seen it. So what happens is that when you look at the things in Jannat, how can you actually realistically and practically know what you're getting into? You can't. So that's why Allah doesn't answer it. You know what? The answer to this is, the real answer to this, yes. Would you like to know? You know, Allah is telling you, very good, this question is good. Look at this question and look at your nature, your fitrat, from where this question is coming from. Look at that. Why are you asking this question? It's a good question. It's a valid question. But look at the fitrat and look at the nature of yours that I made you with. Where is this question coming from? This question is coming from your wanting infinite pleasure. You're seeking infinite pleasure. This is your fitrat. Yes, you should ask that. Allah, will I be bored there? Allah saying, good, you want more, right? You want more pleasure? You want more enjoyment? He says, yes, I want, but I'm afraid I'll get bored. He says, then don't worry. Then don't worry. As long as you have this wish that I want more pleasure, then you are acting according to your fitrat. Subhanallah. My friends, understand this. You're acting according to the nature Allah made you when you say that I want more enjoyment. I want more pleasure. I am not happy here. I want better than this. Then Allah says, yes. Now you are asking and wanting the right thing. Now you trust me that I want to give you that. What reason does Allah have to stop you from having pleasure? Right, tell me. Ask yourself, what reason does Allah have? Allah says, enjoy life. And when we are enjoying life, He says, enjoy more. Enjoy more, all right, I am. You know, enjoy more of it. Why is this? Because this is your nature. This is our nature, my friends. Just like our nature is to seek our Creator, our nature is to enjoy and reach the height of enjoyment. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, when I spoke yesterday, someone came to me and said, Maulana, what are you talking about? You know, Islam wants us to have fun and enjoyment, and that's the goal, and that's the thing. He said, yes. That's it, enjoyment and fun, what is that? Yeah, he said, what do you say? What is the, goal? He says, Allah made us so that we can reach Kamal. We can reach perfection and the higher levels of Iman and the higher stages of Iman. That's what Allah created us for. Very good. Alhamdulillah. So Allah created you for Kamal, to reach perfection, right? That's what ulama say, right? To reach perfection, to reach the higher stages of Iman. Tell me, when you reach the higher stages of Iman, is there pain or pleasure? Is there pain or pleasure? What's the use of that height or that height of Iman? At the end of it is pain and misery. My friends, the whole conclusion of Kamal is so that Allah wants you to have lazzat and pleasure. That's why you are seeking that. I want to go closer to Ahlul Bayt. Why? Why? So that you can be in pain and misery and be sad and grieve? No, Allah says that when you get closer and reach the higher stages, that's when you will feel pleasure. That's when you will truly enjoy your life and yourself. This is where it is. La ilaha illallah. If you do not go after lazzat, or if you don't understand what lazzat is, people who don't enjoy their life, really, they don't understand their own nature, nor do they understand what Allah wants from them. They don't understand what Allah wants from them, you know. And then everything that you do in Islam, if you do a little bit of khidmat, if you do a little bit of whatever it is, whether it's prayer, fasting, noha, matam, whatever you do, you will feel that now, I'm entitled to something. You feel that. You feel entitlement. Entitlement? You're doing this for Allah? You prayed these two rakat for Allah? Now what? Well, Allah, I prayed these two rakat for you. Now, obviously you owe me for this. Allah owes you now? La ilaha illallah. What have you done for Allah? I'm asking myself, right? But I'm asking you, right? What have we done for Allah that we can be proud of and say, that this is Allah, we did for you? Okay, the height of that, my friend, let me answer the height of that question that you can tell me. The height of that question is, like, if you want to mention your height, I will mention your height. I will mention your height. The height of this question of what have I done for Allah is, the height that you have reached is that you have cried for Imam Hussein. You have done matam for Imam Hussein. This is your height. You're not better than this. This is your height, right? Now, you cried for Imam Hussein. This is the best that you have done for Allah. You did matam for Imam Hussein. This is the best that you have done for Allah. My friends, I want you to compare this and truly understand who we are. What is this that we have done compared to what Imam Hussein has done? I want you to see this. Imam Hussein, is there anyone who has done what he has done anywhere in this universe. Allah was proud of Hussein in front of the whole universe. He says, look at this servant of mine. Is there anyone who's close to him? No one was like Hussein. No one was like Hussein. Hussein, the sacrifice that he made. We haven't done anything close to it, right? I mean, we haven't done anything close to it, but I want you to see this, right? That was Ashura. That was the time of Asr. That was the sacrifice of Hussein. And that was Zainab sitting beside the body of Hussein. It's not Masayib yet, Professor. Don't worry. Not Masayib. I'm trying to make a point here so you can open the light. All right? Otherwise, you won't hide these people here. That's fine. Yeah, we have some time to go. All right, right? Making a point. That's Ashura, Asraf Ashura. Imam Hussein has sacrificed himself. Bibi Zainab is sitting next to Imam Hussein. What is she doing? She is humbly, with all humility, raising her hands in front of Allah and saying, Allah, please accept this small offering of ours. Please accept this small. Allah, who are you compared to us? I mean, this is a small offering that Ahlul Bayt are offering. Please accept it. Allahumma taqabbal minna hadhal qurban. Imagine this. That is Zainab. They understand who Allah is. We owe something to Allah. Allah owes something to us. We are entitled. What makes us entitled to anything? You see, my friends, this arrogance comes. This ego comes from where? When we haven't understood deen in a convincing way. This is what happens. These are the mistakes that are made. When you look at Ahlul Bayt and say, that offering, there is no comparison of that offering anywhere. And you see Ahlul Bayt are saying, please, this is a small ibadah, small offering of ours. Please accept it from us. La ilaha illallah. My friend, there's a way that we need to understand deen. And this is why it's important. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. La ilaha illallah. Just an example, you know, I will give how people have taken deen, you know, and I, you know, say this example so that we can analyze things for ourselves, right? Because, you know, these 10 days, we are here to get closer to Imam Hussein. You know, just as an example, you know why? Abbas was the alamdar of Imam Hussein. Why do you think Hazrat Abbas was the alamdar, the flag bearer? You think it has anything to do with his muscles? I want you to understand this. Do you think it has anything to do with his strength and power or his skills of sword? Really? Do you think that's why Imam Hussein made him the flag bearer? Understand why he became the flag bearer. Why did Imam Hussein give him the flag? You hold the flag. This is what we need to understand. And then we will truly appreciate why Hazrat Abbas is Alamdar. Then we will know. Otherwise what happens is that if we don't have an understanding, yes, we know he's Alamdar. We know, we respect him. We honor him. That is there. But my friends, when he is the flag bearer, what reason is he the flag bearer? This is what I want to explain. Just as an example I'm giving, because so we need to understand why we are here for these 10 days, right? Yes, we give condolences to them, but understanding, getting closer to Hussein. Every year we need to step a little bit closer to Hussein. If we think we are all there next to Hussein, we are mistaken. We truly are mistaken. We want to get close to Imam Hussein. Say that. Yes, I want to get close. You know why Abbas was there? Because you see, my friends, you know, there is a concept that's given in Ziyarat and Hadith. And that is that, like Hajj, they say that Itmamul Hajj Belika il Imam. That Hajj is completed when you meet the Imam. Hajj is incomplete unless you meet the Imam. Now, what does this meeting mean? Meeting the Imam, what does that mean? That I should see him? that I should lay my eyes on him? My friends, do you think by laying eyes on the imam, it will make you any better? How many munafiqeen have seen the imam? Tell me, how many munafiqeen saw Imam Ali? Did that change them? They're still munafiq, right? They're still munafiq. They still fought him. They still opposed him. They saw him. Everything. So laying eyes, that's not the meaning of meeting the imam. You know what meeting the imam means? You see, the imam is seeing something. He has a basirat, a vision. Meeting the imam means that when your basirat and vision starts to see the vision of the imam, then you are starting to meet the imam. You are starting to meet the imam now. What is Imam Hussein looking at? If you can start to see that image and that vision that's in Hussein's eyes, then you started meeting the imam. Now, it doesn't mean that there will be differences between us. Some will see more than others. And that's why the one who saw what Imam Hussein was seeing better than anyone else, more than anyone else, was Abul Fazl al-Abbas. How far is the nigah and the nazar and the sight of Imam Hussein? We can't even imagine that. No one was able to see the sight, the basirat that Imam Hussein was seeing more than Abbas. That's why Abbas was the flag bearer. You are the one who understands me, Abbas. This is why he's the flag bearer. Because he's better than anyone else. La ilaha illallah. And this is what we want. We want to get closer and make our vision the vision of Imam Hussein, as close as we can. And every year, something comes in our mind, and with obviously the tawfiq of Allah and the mother and help of Imam Hussein. He is different. He takes our hand and then he takes us there. This is the difference. So this is what we want. That's why we want to explain one idea of Islam so we can get close to Imam Hussein. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, how do people view Islam, those who haven't understood it deeply? Here's how they view it, my friends. Really, their interaction with Allah, their dealing with Allah is so superficial. It's like ridiculous looking at them. I'm like, what is wrong with us that we deal with Allah like this? You know how we deal with Allah? You know, as an example I'll give, you know, let's say, and it doesn't mean that you'll feel bad, you'll feel good. But good has many stages. You know, like you're walking into Moment Center, and let's say, you know, you saw someone, you don't even know the person, whatever it is, you saw him drop something, maybe his wallet or card or whatever it is, right? You saw him drop his tasbih, whatever it is. And you saw that he dropped it, so you are a good person. You went, picked it up, and you said, excuse me, you dropped this. And he says, oh, thank you, you know. Okay, you know, this moment's at me, maybe even outside at the airport. That person is a kafir, he dropped something, you went and picked it and give it to him. And he says, thank you. Tell me, when you did this action, do you feel good? Tell the truth, you feel good, right? You feel good about yourself that you did something right. You didn't pocket it, you know. You did something good and you gave it back, right? That's how you do it, right? My friends, God forbid that our interaction with Allah is like this. That this is how we feel good with Allah, you know. Accidentally we picked up something, gave it, and then we're saying, Alhamdulillah, I feel good now. Really, this is the tragedy. This is what the tragedy is. You know, I mean, really, this is how many people have accepted Allah. Okay, you know, you dropped something here, I feel good now. La ilaha illallah. This is something that we need to look at. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ Allah says in the Quran. Very few people are shakur. Not shakir. Many people are shakir. But Allah says very few are shakur. Shakir is that saying thank you. Oh, thank you. You know, Shakur is someone who is intensely in gratitude. You say, you know, really, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Really, I thank you. This is Shakur. Allah wants us to become this. Why did Allah create us? No matter how many questions, this is the second question that all human beings have. Why did Allah create us, my friends? You know, no matter what answer you give that person, or if I give you the answer, or even if Amir al-Mu'mineen gives you the answer, you will not be convinced. Allah created us because of ibadat. Allah says so. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created us for ibadat. We are like, okay, ibadat, worship. Okay, you know, yes, ibadat. Now do ibadat. I'll do it, you know. Allah, you know, I mean, you're the boss. If I don't do it, you'll throw me in Jahannam. So I might as well do it. Is this how we accepted Allah? Is this our relationship? No. No matter what answer is given, it's not going to convince us. There's no answer to convince this. You know what we should do? We should reach a state of being. We should reach a point and a stage where we are so happy, where we are enjoying ourselves so much. And by reaching that state of lazzat and pleasure and enjoyment, then only now this question, why did Allah create us, will not even be asked by us. That's our goal. No, sometimes, you know, I mean, I need to give examples for us to understand this. Send a loud salawat. My friends, someone came to you and he liked your face. And he gave you $1 billion. Halal money. Right? 100% halal money. It's not a lotto ticket, you know, something like that. No, halal, because nowadays you have to say it, you know. 100% halal, $1 billion, all white money, nothing laundered. Right? It's all good, kosher, right? So here you are. So now what happens is that when you get the money, let's say, you know, I mean, he gave it to you. He says, hey, listen, I want to give this to you. Take it. You know, you took the money, you took the $1 billion, it's all halal, and you started spending it. You spend, you know, you bought a house here, you bought a house there, you went on vacations, you went on a world tour, whatever it is, you know, you went for Hajj and Ziyarat and all the things. Alhamdulillah, you took your whole family there. And still you have so much money left, right? You have a lot left. You spend it also. Now, my friends, understand this. This person just gave it to you, right? And you are now spending it and enjoying it and having pleasure and seeking pleasure with it. Now, do you ask, why did he give it to me? Why did he give it to me? Well, I don't care why he gave it to me. I have it. I have it. And I'm happy. Just he gave it to me. Alhamdulillah, I got it. Right? I got it, right? I'm happy with it. I should be happy and I'm enjoying it. My friends, now if sometimes that person comes to you and says, hey, you know what? You know that $1 billion that I gave you? You know, if you can give $1,000 to Moment Center, what would you say? He gave me $1 billion. He's asking for $1,000. Well, of course I will. Right? And you will happily give it, won't you? With a smile, you'll give it. You'll be like, wow, yeah, please take it. You know, I will give it. Because you gave me $1 billion. You gave me so much money. And you're asking for this much. My friends, understand this, right? Understand this. Why I should be grateful to Allah? Allah has given me so much. Has given me so much. When you understand the blessings that you are swimming in, when you understand the mercy that you are drowned in, when you understand the love that you are wrapped in, then if you understand that, then this question will never come to your mind that why did Allah create me? Why did Allah create me? Why? Allah, I am happy. In fact, I'm so happy. I just want to thank you. I don't know where to start thanking you. I don't know where to start thanking you, Allah. My friend, the only reason, the only thing that can erase this question in our mind is enjoyment. Yes. How do I convince myself? Allah says, enjoy. And we start enjoying. Allah says, enjoy more. I start enjoying more. Enjoy more. Have more fun. Go ahead, have fun. And when you start having intense fun, then Allah says, now, do you have the question why I created you? I said, Allah, really, I don't have the question. I'm so happy. The only time a person asks this question or this question comes to his mind is because if he is miserable. And he's only miserable because he's unable to have fun. When did Allah stop you from having fun? I read the ayat yesterday. Man harrama zinata Allah. Who has prohibited the fun that Allah has given you, given to the believers to have fun with? Who made it haram? Friends, reason Allah made this is so that we can enjoy. La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, this ayat, this is the meaning of the ayat, the first ayat of Surah Al-Dahr, or Surah Insan. Hal ata ala al-insani heenun min ad-dahr lam yakun shay'an madhkura. You know, Surah Insan. Towards the end, he says, doesn't man know that he was nothing before and we brought him into existence? Doesn't he know that? You were nothing. You were non-existent and I brought you into existence. That should be enough to say Alhamdulillah, you know? That should be enough. But some people, when they look at this ayah, they say, you know what? So what? Why did he create me? I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him to create me. This ayah that's saying you were nothing and I brought you to existence. And people are saying that, hey, it's a big deal. Did I ask him to do it? Why did he do it for? You know who was the first person to say this? And people are saying, yes, I know. No, you might not know. Let me introduce him to you, right? You know the first person who made this statement when he heard this ayat? Why did Allah create me? I don't want him. I didn't want him to create me. The first person to make this belligerent statement, this ignorant and arrogant statement, was the same person who put the fire on the door of Bibi Fatima. So the next time you send lanat on him, you know that why he, you know, more reason to send lanat on him, right? Exactly. Now you know, I mean, this person, he was that belligerent, right? And ignorant, said that, you know, why did Allah create me for? I didn't ask him to do that. La ilaha illallah. So, you know, when you do send a lanat, you know, you need to send it, you know, with more meaning, right? So you know why he deserves lanat, all right? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So where should we be going? We should be going to O'budu Rabbukum alladhi khalaqakum. Worship him, serve him who has created you. Do you need any more reason? Do you need any more reason? Allah has created you. That's it. Alhamdulillah. Allah, thank you. I can't thank you enough for giving life to me. I can't thank you enough, Allah. My friends, this is where lazzat and pleasure makes us understand deen and accept it in a deeper way. La ilaha illallah. You know, there's a hadith from Imam Sadiq. I will mention it tomorrow. Allahumma sallallahu. I'll mention it just going past, you know, since it's already time. So, you know, he mentioned, you know, in a long hadith that he had, and in that hadith, at the end of that hadith, the last sentence, he's explaining the reason why Allah created. He says, you know the reason why Allah created you? He says, Bal khalaqahum liyanfa'uhum. He created you so he can benefit you. He can give you. He can shower his love onto you. He can wrap you in his mercy. That's why he created you. وَيُوصِلُهُمْ إِلَى نَعِيمِ الْأَبَدِ, and to make them reach the highest of pleasure, highest of bounties. That's what Allah wants. Allah wants you to have so much fun that, you know, you can't even imagine it. That's what Allah wants. La ilaha illallah. Tell me, when you cry for Imam Hussein, when you cry for Imam Hussein, let's say one day, you know, you cry a lot for Imam Hussein, and after, you know, you stop crying and you look at your heart, tell me, is there pleasure in your heart of loving Imam Hussein? Do you feel that pleasure? You know, I love Imam Hussein. You know, you cry and then you all of a sudden you feel that inside you. You feel that? La ilaha illallah. You're expressing, you enjoy expressing your love for Imam Hussein. This is enjoying, this is lazzat. Allah gave lazzat in the love of Ahlul Bayt. He gave lazzat, he gave pleasure there. La ilaha illallah. In Jannat, Allah will say, because you took pleasure and because you left other pleasure, inferior pleasure, to take pleasure in the love of Hussein, I will not separate you from Hussein in Jannat. No. Because you had pleasure there, I want you to experience that pleasure here in Jannat. And you know what will happen? You know, you cried for Imam Hussein. I want you to understand this, my friends. How did you accept Imam Hussein? You cried for him. You did matam for him. You spent yourself for him. And each and every moment was so pleasurable that you did not want to leave loving Imam Hussein. Nothing could drag you away from this. There's a majlis going on. Let me go there. I can't live without it. I have to do matam. Let me do matam. That's where I feel inside the love and the pleasure. Now you have done it. Tell me, when you go in front of Allah and you have done matam, you have cried for Imam Hussein, you had tears, how would it be if a person who has done this goes to Allah and says, Allah, listen, I did all this. Now where's my reward for this? What are you going to give me in exchange of this? I mean, would you feel like asking that? Oh, you did this. Alhamdulillah, you did this. It was ibadat, more than ibadat, it was love. Would you now want to trade this for something else? Understand this, my friends, how you have accepted Imam Hussein. You won't. You'll be like, no, Allah, and Allah is looking at you and saying, why do you want to account for this? You think I'm going to take account of you? You are special to me. You are special. You think that I'm going to take account of these things that you have done for the love of Hussein? Allah is not taking accounts. He says, no, I want you to keep. You love to be the guest of Hussein. That's why you come here, right? My friends, why do you come here for the majlis? Because this is important for us to understand why this majlis here and this and that. I explained that the other day. You know, you have majlis in home so that you have conviction and this and that. But you know what? This is the place you want to come to give condolences. Right? Really, this is the place you want to come to give condolences. If someone dies in your house, where will I go to give condolence? Your house or someone else's house? Or now I give text message, you know. I'm sorry. He said, what is this text message coming in? You want to give condolence? Come to the house of the person who are mourning. My friends, you will see that in this area, this is the house of the imam. So you come here to give condolences. This is where you want to come and say that, imam, I'm at your house so that I can give condolences here. This is where I should be. My friends, this is, it's like a magnet pulling us because of this love. And when you will be in Jannat, which you will be in Jannat, Allah will say that because you took pleasure, you had lazzat in the remembrance of Hussein in dunya, now I will give you lazzat in being the guest of Hussein in Jannat. And when you will sit at the, just imagine yourself, if you sit at the table with Imam Hussein. La ilaha illallah. You know, you sit at that table and Imam Hussein is sitting across you and you can't take your eyes off him. You can't take your, I mean, if you can't take your heart away from Hussein without even seeing him, imagine when you see him. What will happen to you? Really, what will happen to you? And that's when you will look at him and maybe you will tell the person next to you, you know, look at Hussein. Look at Hussein. What has he done to me in dunya that I was smitten in his love? And now look at me. I can't take my eyes off Hussein. My friends, there is this lazzat, this pleasure in the memory of Imam Hussein. That a mu'min, if he understands this, he will not trade it for anything. Allah, I don't want reward for this. Yeah, you mentioned those who cry will go to Jannah, this and that. But Allah, I don't want Jannah because of these tears. No, these are not for that. It's not for that. My friends, Imam Hussein is coming towards Karbala. The caravan of Hussein is coming from Karbala. The 2nd of Muharram, he reached Karbala. But you know, this 2nd of Muharram is very important for a mu'min who understands Karbala and the aza of Imam Hussein. It's very important for him. You know what happened here? When he reached Karbala, this reaching of Karbala is a reason for a mu'min to really die. This is the day when a person should just say that, you know what, I don't want to stay till Ashura. I should die right now for what happened to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein, truly what he faced coming to Karbala was itself a tragedy that if I have the ma'rifah to understand it, I don't want to live till Ashura to see what will happen to Imam Hussein's children. This is enough for me what happened on this day. You know what happened? Let me just give an example so you understand this. You know, if you are invited to come to a gathering, some dawat, something, you are invited. You took your wife, you took your children and say, oh, we are invited. Let's get ready to go there. You got ready and you went to the invitation. You went to their house and now you rang the doorbell because you are invited. They have given you an invitation and you came there. And now when they open the door and they look at you and says, oh, we're here. And they said, who invited you? Who invited you? You're not welcome here. You know, when you will stand there at the door, not welcome, your children will look up to you and said, Father, I thought we were invited here. I thought we were invited here. Imagine the humiliation and the disgrace that you face standing at that door. And those people who invited you are rejecting you now. Now you can imagine what Imam Hussein is facing on the 2nd of Muharram. Yeah, those people who invited him have rejected him. And the children are looking up to their Imam and their father and saying, Father, what happened? Well, these people invited us, didn't they? So why did they reject us now? My friends, this rejection of Hussein on the 2nd of Muharram is enough for us to die. Really, it is enough for us to kill ourselves for. Hussein, you have been rejected. La ilaha illallah. Hussein, if we were there, we would open our doors for you. The doors of our heart are open for you, Hussein.
My friends, the caravan of Hussein is coming. The caravan, the children are coming also. So at least we should reach there before them. And you have. I told you, Alhamdulillah, you reached here before Hussein has reached here. You know what you should do before? Because Hussein is coming. You know what you should do in order to greet Imam Hussein? At least go around. At least go around and pick up the stones that are on the ground. Pick up the stones that are on the ground. No, you know, at least clear the bush. You know, the thorns that are on the ground, at least pick up those thorns before Hussein comes, because the children of Hussein are coming and tomorrow they will start playing in the ground of Karbala. This is what happened. One of the companions of Hussein, he was walking around the tents on the night of Ashura, on the eve of Ashura. And then Imam Hussein, he came out and he heard some noise. He went to him and said, "What happened? Who are you?" He says, "It's me." When Imam Hussein came, he says, "What are you doing here at this hour of the night? What are you doing outside?" Hussein, you said that we will all be killed tomorrow, that no one will be left tomorrow, that we will all be killed. So Hussein, "I'm clearing the bushes here. You see these thorns? I'm taking these thorns from the ground because your children are going to be running around here. I don't want them to get hurt." La ilaha illallah. Hussein is coming. And when Hussein is coming, my friends, really, when Hussein is coming, his children are coming also. Zainab is coming also. Zainab is coming also. And when they reached Karbala, Zainab was the one who asked Hussein, that Hussein, "What is this land that has disturbed my heart? That is making my heart shake? What is this land?" And Hussein, you know, obviously Hussein knows what this land is. And he is asking the name of this land from locals. You know, why? There's a reason behind it, my friends. Imam Hussein doesn't do these things without reason. Because you see, Zainab is very close to Imam Hussein. So close to Imam Hussein. And has so much marifat of Hussein. She knows that Karbala is the land of separation between the brother and the sister. Karbala is where they will be separated from each other. And Hussein, when he asked, "What is the name of this land? What is the name of this land?" People said that this land is called Nainawa or Shattul Farat or other names they gave. But when they said Karbala, so right away Hussein said, "A'udhu billahi min karbin wa bala." I seek refuge from Karbala. He is saying it out loud. "A'udhu billahi min karbin wa bala." This is Karbala. "A'udhu billahi min karbin wa bala." Hussein, why are you saying it loudly? Why are you repeating it? Because I want to make sure that Zainab hears this. And that Zainab contemplates that this is the same place where I will be separated from Zainab. It was hard for Zainab to contemplate this. It was hard for her to fathom the idea that her brother would be taken away from her. Hussein was repeating it for her so that she can understand. And now when Hussein heard this, you know, three things he said. He stomped his foot on the ground. He stomped his foot on the ground and said three things. Two of them I can translate. The third one I cannot translate. You understand it yourself. What Hussein had said, it's difficult to even say it out there. It's difficult to even put it out there. You know, Hussein stomped his foot and he said, "Ha huna maktalo rijalana." This is the place where our men will be killed. Imagine the men. This is the place where our men will be killed. He says, maqtal, qatal means to kill. You know, there are two things. There's qatal and there's zibah. There's qatal and there's zibah. He says, ha huna maqtalu rijalana wa ha huna yadbahu awladana. This is the place where our children are going to be slaughtered. Can you imagine what those children are and their heads are being slaughtered? Husayn is saying this is the place where they're going to be slaughtered. Now let me tell you the third thing which you can understand it and give your condolences. He says, ha huna mahtako nisana. Mahtako nisana. When Hussein came to Karbala and told Abbas to bring out the tents, when the ladies came out from the horses, from the camels, the youth of Bani Hashim made a circle and everyone was coming out and were being escorted into the tents. We're being escorted into the tents. Oh my goodness. You see, these women, they have traveled a far way, but their travel wasn't hard. You know why? Because you haven't traveled with people like Abbas and Ali Akbar yet. That's why you don't know. You have been to Ziyarat. You know how good it is to have a good companion with you. But can there, just imagine that you are traveling with Ali Akbar. You are traveling with Abbas. Just imagine that. How would you feel? This is Zainab and Umm Kulsum, Rabab, and all the ladies. When they were traveling, they could have traveled forever in this caravan and they would not be tired. You know why? Because every time Umm Rabab will raise Ali Asghar, Ali Akbar will come and say, let me take him from you. You relax. Whenever Zainab wanted water, 10 youth will get up and say, Aunt Zainab, please don't get up. I will get it for you. All this journey they came, and now as they're getting down, these youth are around them. Everyone is asked to go away. Rubab is getting down. Everyone is getting down. Now Hussein stands up because now the announcement is made that Zainab Kubra is getting down. So many youth that she has around her. She has come to Karbala. Zainab has arrived in Karbala. Do you know what that means? In 10 days, not one mahram will be left.
سيقلب الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون معتم حسين.